Harihih Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastramavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Page 46, Adhikarna 7, Transformation by Word. Aram Banna Dikaranam. Sutra reference 2.1, 14 through 20. Adhikarna Prakashika. The Adhikarna opens up for discussion about the non-difference of the material world from Brahman. Within the effect, the material world, the cause, Brahman, can be seen, just as the sight of a cobweb makes one think of a spider, even before its manifestation. The effect is latent within the cause. Earlier in Vedanta Sutra 1.4, 23-24, Prakritis cha patigya drishtanta anurodhata and abhidya upadesach cha. It was proved that Brahman is the material cause. Prakriti, because of the teachings about his desire. This view is not contradicted by the statements and examples given in the scriptures. At a later phase in his work, the Sutrakar gives the detailed knowledge of the origin of the elements in creation. Vedanta Sutra 2.3.12 Tad abhidyananda eva tu tal linga saha. Okay. Therein, it verifies that the elements of creation, such as ether, air, fire, water, earth, arise from the Lord, because he alone has the quality of desiring to create. When a man perspires, water is produced, hence the effect. Water is present in the cause, fire. So the doubt may arise, who's the cause of ether? It was formally proved in Vedanta Sutra 1.2.22, Akashas Talingata, that ether arises from Akash, and Akash is Brahman. Thus, Brahman, cause, is seen in the creation effect. Right? So it's a very important thing to be able to see why. Because we see is that within the, you have on the lower level is that so everything's connected to Krishna. Otherwise, how do you become Krishna conscious if there's situations that aren't connected to Krishna? So the whole idea of this technical point is that you can see Krishna in everything. That's the whole idea. Then we see on an advanced level is that by seeing everything that you can see a connection to Krishna that reminds you of Krishna. Right? Means the beginning stages, it's about not forgetting Krishna. So we're seeing the external energy, we're thinking it's the external energy. Then when you remember how it's Krishna, right? Then we give up forgetting about Krishna. You understand? So that way the aspect of Brahman Paramatma makes us, then we're able to, through that, see Krishna in whatever we're doing, whatever situation we're in, whatever results we're getting, everything we're able to see Krishna. Right? But then higher than that is that then we remember Krishna. Right? That from that, then we remember the person and how he's involved, because there's some connection. It's just how the mind works. It only takes one word and everything. Like we see in these philosophies, though they're presented, in a logical way, in a intellectual way, but we see underlying, it's still the mind. They catch on one word, and by that word, they make their whole philosophy. So where is that being generated? By the mind. You may use intelligence, to work out the mechanics, but it's still the mind. That's why we say mental speculation, not intellectual speculation. Right? Mental speculation means the mind uses the intelligence to come up with various options. Right? Does that make sense? So therefore, just a word, a something, just an anything, then that will be. Like the column is there, so that means why do we have a column? Why is the column important? You know, why put columns? Right? Just they look nice or something. You know, you can put whipped cream instead. You know, it's also more tasty. You know, like that. So you put the column, why strength? So that strength, then Krishna's strong. And so therefore he's killing Keshi demon. He's holding up Govardhan Hill. You know, he's, you know, his mood and taking that kind of youthful arrogance when he's with the cowherd boys or with the gopis or, you understand? Just to me, it goes into that. So in the beginning, it's okay, yeah, no, it's not material energy. I mean, it's material energy, but the whole point about it is it's Krishna's potency, so I have to remember Krishna, stop forgetting about Krishna. You understand? So that's the first. So the aspects of Brahman Paramatma, what should be done, so therefore, what are my duties, and this and that. So that's your first stage of this. And so we may say, oh, it's very intellectual, but the point is, intellectual is better than sentimentally seeing everything as mundane and for your control and enjoyment. Right? So that's the whole point. These are your options. You see it not connected to Krishna for yourself, or you see it connected to Krishna where it's for Krishna, not for yourself. Right? So we can say, it comes from the heart and all that. Yeah, so when you see the column and then you remember Krishna and his pastimes in Braj, then we can say, okay, now we're on that level. But if you're not, then remember that it's Krishna, the potency in it, rather than, you know, great house and I'll be secure here and I can make a life here. And yes.
Mm-hmm. So the doubt is that remembering Krishna includes not forgetting him.
Yes.
However, Rupa Goswami, he quotes that verse as it is in Padma Puran for both sides. So then what happens, the Sahajiyas, they say they remember Krishna without the not forgetting part.
Yes.
So it's not complete. So the question is, like you mentioned, sentimentally not remembering Krishna is a bad, but what about sentimentally remember Krishna?
But can they do that? Are they doing that? See, the Sahajiyas say they're doing that.
Yeah.
Just like people say, you know, everybody says, I'm great, I'm fabulous, you know,
that's
everybody knows me. You know, but if they have to say that, means people don't know who you are. Right? You know. You know, when you say, do you know who I am? That means they don't know who you are. Yeah. You know. So that's the whole thing, is that talk is cheap. Because when we're saying about the gopis remembering, that means 24/7. That doesn't mean that when they're out on stage and making a scene and crying and rolling around on the ground. It means always. So that's the thing, is that we can say that, but it doesn't mean it's real. You know? So it's just like the materialists, they always say that something is, you know, good or special or unique or, you know. Does that make sense? You know, it's the thought that counts. Like that. Yeah, once I found that didn't necessarily work out so great. Like that. One morning, it was, how do you say? It was Mother's Day, right? So in the morning, I made my plan what I was going to do. So that we had just shifted houses, so our old house, we still had stuff there. And my mother was going by and picking up stuff, you know, after work in the afternoon. So I decided, okay. I'll set up some flowers and everything and some nice stuff there. So when she goes there, but that's in the afternoon. Like that. So in the morning, that's when things are expected. So I'm thinking, yeah, I got my plan. Grandmother's coming and what's that? You don't love us, this and that, and so many things. And it didn't work out so well. You know, finally in the afternoon, okay, but you put in that many hours of anxiety and then finally something happens that doesn't work out so good. So it's not just the sentiment is good enough. Right? Is that what you're saying? Yeah. So that's the problem, is that we can say these things and in the moment where the sentiment is there, it works. But at another time, it doesn't. So that's the things. We're talking about something that always works. Is you're able to see Krishna in everything. So that means that in the beginning it's intellectual. And then, okay, you can see Krishna. Okay, that's the Brahman platform. And so that's purifying. And that then stops any improper activity. What should you be doing? Or what would be the positive way of dealing? Okay, I can see Krishna in it, but how to move forward? So that's then you see the paramount. What should you do with this? What's your involvement with this? Yes. You have a duty, you take part in it. You don't have a duty, you don't take part. But it's still Krishna, but because you have duties and relationships, therefore you take part in the relationship and duty as is appropriate. You know, it's just like Mother Jashoda has a relationship, but she doesn't go out into the cowherd, you know, the cowherd pastures with the cowherd boys. She doesn't show up at Radhakund and all that, and, oh, I brought snacks, you know, and stuff like that. She just doesn't do that. You know. Somebody says, you know, comes at night, you know, how you say, Govindastali, when Radha and Krishna are sleeping and all that, and, you know, laying in each other's embrace, the Mother Yashoda comes and fixes the cover and all that, you know, telling you, they'll get cold, you know. You know, Lalita, you should know better, you know. It just doesn't happen. So, this idea that I want to be able to get some enjoyment out of something in every situation, that's a material concept. Is that what can I can do something in every situation? That's our own benefit, that there's so many benefits you can get, but Krishna says better to do your duty not so well than someone else's perfectly. Right? Because that then doesn't give rise for others and their relationships and stuff like that. So that makes sense? So there's a whole lot more going on than just what we can get out of it. Because otherwise, if it's about what we can get out of it, and that's central, then everybody else also has the idea of what we can get out of it. And so then that creates conflict. So the Vedic system is everybody has their position and rights, and that's yours. And so since it's not someone else's, that's where you work. But you don't work where someone else works. So that discrimination then is also valuable in Krishna consciousness. It can also be seen on that higher level. That is, everybody has their relationships. They take part in Krishna's pastimes according to their relationship. And the pastimes are designed that each situation is perfect for that relationship. Right? So if I'm fulfilling Krishna's desire, right? So that means to fulfill the desire, that means there has to be an activity that will fulfill the desire. And that activity has to have a situation in which you can perform the activity. Right? Really hard for Krishna to be pleased by the feminine interaction of the gopis, you know, while in a, a water fight, if they're not in the water and water fighting. And you can't be in the water and water fighting if there's no water to fight with. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So therefore, then the Kriya and Jnana Shaktis, they are supporting. They are that service mood of Icha, of pleasing Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that means is that everything we see, when we see the Brahman, we're seeing the situation. We're seeing Paramatma, the duties, then we're seeing the Kriya. But when we're seeing it's about Krishna's pleasure that we're doing that, then that's the Icha. And then that can go through from the name, form, qualities to pastimes. So the point is that we may say, yes, you know, we should remember the pastimes. Yes, we should. But how do you get to remembering the pastimes? By remembering the name. Right? Then it will come to qualities. Then it will come to pastimes. I mean, name, form, qualities, and then pastimes. So those stages of what do you call it? Smarana Dasa. Did we mention those details of that?
No.
Like that. Then they give rise to the okay. So in Shravana Dasa, Smarana Dasa. So you remember the name, you know, which is Smarana, right? Then Dhyana, you concentrate on the form. Then Dharana, you meditate on the qualities. Dhruvanu Smriti, you're absorbed in the pastimes, and Samadhi, you're in the translate state where it's exclusively about Krishna. So the meditating is there, but then when that's exclusive, that's Samadhi. So you can see it's a natural, when we mention these fours and going through these fours,
What was the second coming?
Okay.
What was the second coming doing?
Ah, yes, he was remembering the name, concentrating. That's smarana. Dhyana, concentration on the form, or concentrating on the form. Then dharana, the third stage, is meditation on the qualities. Fourth stage, dhruvanu smriti, absorption in the pastimes. And fifth is samadhi, where you're exclusively absorbed. You know, it's like in a trance kind of position.
This is of which dasha? You are?
This is smarta dasha.
Sorry.
From Jarvi Dharma, chapter 6, part 4. Yeah, I remembered that time. I write it all down, and later I go and look at it. Great, where's it from? I didn't write down where it's from. Yeah. Right. So that means when that absorption is there like that, then the application of one's form can be used. Does that make sense? So that brings you to Apandas, where then you can be absorbed in the pastimes. So that's called Surup Siddhi.
Yeah.
The perfection of the Surup. Because otherwise, before that Surup is there, you know, we start with the Surup as I'm servant of Krishna. So we're starting, that's where it starts. But then you're able to actually apply it. Then you can take part in the pastimes at absorption. Right? Does that make sense? Then when comes that platform of prema, that's Vastu Siddhi. Does that make sense? Because then one's exclusively in the spiritual body, not in the material body anymore. Right? That's for the sadhakas. It means those who are nitya siddhas, then they come down, they're always in prema. So, you know, they don't have that. They don't have to go through these stages. Right? They're already. Yes.
Sometimes devotees, they find difficulties matching duties with relationship, because duty sounds here something like we do under pressure, you know, we don't really want to do that, but then we have to do it, so it's my duty, you know, like that. But then relationship, it's natural, it's flowing. So the rasa is there, but how to match those two, it's not easy.
Well, now, in that, if we're looking at it, this... we're analyzing it and we're finding this difficulty,
yeah,
right? Of that it's intellectual, it's not flowing smoothly, naturally, inspirationally, all these things like that. But what do we expect the other person to do in the relationship? We expect them to be all spontaneous and natural and fabulous and everything.
Yes.
How did they get there?
Their problem.
Yeah, it's their problem. Yeah, you work it out. You know, it's not my problem. Yeah. You understand? So we're expecting them to be on that platform. But what are they doing? What should they be doing? When we say they should spontaneously be doing all these things, what are we expecting them to do? The duties. You know, we just want it to flow and have the feeling because we're feeling that the duties get in the way, but we expect the other person to be performing the duties. So if we can see them doing the duties and being spontaneous, why can't we do that? So and we would rather have them do the duties even if it wasn't spontaneous than not do the duties at all. Right? Wouldn't you rather have dinner even though it wasn't spontaneous? Yeah, you understand? So the whole point is it's a sadhana, it's a practice. Nothing spontaneous without practice. Yeah. So when we see someone who's expert in something, that it attracts our attention. The point is we have to go through sadhana to get to that point. Right?
Yeah.
Like that. So, The point is you either already have a natural attraction or attachment, or it will come by being involved in the process. Right? In other words, the duties that are mentioned in the Shastra are the activities that generate attraction and attachment. Right? Yeah. And so when we perform those duties properly, it develops the relationship, and so that's considered pious. But it binds one to the world. Right? You know, because it's supposed to be you're performing those activities to please Krishna, so you're binding yourself to Krishna. So we leave Krishna out of it, we're doing the same activity, we bind ourselves to the material world. Now if we do that same activity with detachment, that will get us liberation. Right? Because then the residents in the spiritual world are always on the transcendental platform. Because if you're detached, then how, and if you're detached and you're doing your duties, who's going to get the benefit? Right? The other person. Right? Because that will be your focus. So when I'm detached, I'm performing the duty, therefore it's pleasing to Krishna. Right? So now if you combine those two, we see that that's how devotional service will work. We become attached to Krishna, we're doing everything to please Krishna. Like that. Does that make sense? So we're attracted to and all that, but that comes from practice. So that's the way it is in everything. You know, it's just like, would you be happy being, someone's going to drive you to Calcutta, okay? You get in the car, your stuff is in the car, you're ready to go for a day's work in Calcutta. And then this, obviously young kid gets into the car, you know, as the driver. And you go, what's going on? And like that. And he's like, do you know how to drive? Not really, but I'm really enthusiastic. I mean, just really, I love cars and being in the cars. I've always wanted to be a driver and all that. And my brother was sick, so here I am. Are you comfortable? Yes. So the point is he's spontaneous. So that's the point is, the spontaneity is overrated without the skill. We talk about spontaneousness today, but people don't have the skills to go with it. So then they try to find what will generate that spontaneity, some feeling, something out of it. But the problem is they're trying to avoid the obligation, the duty, the practice, the rigmarole, you know, whatever it is, going through these things, that because of that, then how do you get a reaction? It can't be in a standard way, because you want to avoid that, so it has to be something weird. You know, and therefore you see the culture gets weirder and weirder. And then things that are standard, we see that gets in the way of that, because that means I have to go through stages. I just want immediate results. You know, it's like children. They want immediate results. They can't wait. You know. So then you have a culture whatever areas they were able to apply themselves, you know, very sophisticated and knowledgeable and qualified children. When it comes to their experience, they want it immediately. You know, so that's the whole difficulty, is that this kind of approach then doesn't actually support using properly the Vedic version. That's why the Vedic culture is so seemingly inaccessible to those in this modern mentality. But it's because of their mentality, not that it doesn't work. The laws always work. Gravity works today just as much as it did back when, Caesar was there. You know, so after stabbing Caesar and they drop the knife and walk out, it did fall to the ground. It didn't float around and all that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the whole thing. It doesn't change. We make it change because what's changed? We say, oh, everything's changed. It means we've changed. We don't have the ability to apply ourselves, because it takes more maturity, more sobriety, more determination. It takes good qualities. But being impatient, you know, wanting things yesterday, that doesn't require any good qualities. So it's immediately, you know, an animal can do it. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. So therefore, that's why there's a weakness. You know, then you apply this into the sahaja. So when you make a philosophy, you make it sound good. So the sahajas just make it sound good. you know, or the advertisers and, you know, the modern world make it sound good. You know, it's not like that, but it just makes it sound good. So all it has to do is the mind accepts it, it's done. It's not that it has to be logical or this or that, just the mind has to accept. So when we see as the benefits you get from serving Krishna, doing activities for Krishna, our position, the natural relationship, then with time we get attracted to that. Then we're willing to commit to that kind of endeavor, and then we get the results. Then you taste the results. Is that what I'm saying? But otherwise, you have to put in effort. There's no such thing as taste. That's the idea. You'll taste immediately, but then what's the quality of that? You know what I'm saying? It's just like, how much time and money do you require for fast foods?
Minimum.
Yeah, and how much do you require to go to a very nice, you know, up at high end, you know, restaurant with, you know, the top? More time, more money. But the effect between the two is very different. The one seems to be good. It has all the things. You put enough monosodium glutamate in anything, it'll taste good. You know, like that. You know, that's all. You put some, yeah, you're good, you know. And so then it works. But at the same time, is then that satisfaction is not there. So those who are satisfied on that level will consider them culturally quite shallow. You know, because they don't have the character and qualities for a more sophisticated, you know, cultural, you know, exchange or endeavor or experience. Right? So that's the thing, the Vedic... If you don't, means we see is that Narad Muni, when he starts the conversation, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked about Varnashram. So the first thing Narad Muni says is the qualities required to take part in it. So that, and it's Daiva Varnashram that he'll explain. Right? Bhrigu will explain Varnashram. But Narad Muni is going to explain Daiva Varnashram. So the 9 processes of devotional service are counted as part of the 30 qualities required. So we see as all those qualities that are there, then they are important for devotional service. So that's the whole thing, is the qualities are there. We talk about the experience, but how do you get the experience without being involved in the activity? Right, the overall activity. That means then there must be knowledge and skill and qualities to be involved in that activity. So that's why we see as name, form, qualities come first, then there's pastimes. Right? So then they'll talk about it, but are they absorbed in the pastimes? They'll say they are, but you can check. Are they absorbed in the name? Are they absorbed in the form? Are they absorbed in the qualities? Because these don't come up, they'll just talk about pastimes. And that's only when others are present, so there's a presentation, you know, so that we can, there's some interaction. But you see them on their own just chanting and absorbed in chanting, and that's then where you check. You can say, oh no, we don't need all this. This is all technical. This is yawn. No, we just go straight for that. Is that possible? You know, it's just like, okay, the rich guy. Okay, then in the modern context, where's the best place? He has a multi-story building. Where's the best place for his apartment? On the top. Yeah, the penthouse. But, you know, that means all the other stuff you're not going to use. You may see it. It adds to the flash of the building, but, you know, you're not going to use it. And then, of course, there's the foundation. Nobody sees that. So therefore, can we just build a penthouse in the sky? You know, save money, save, like, you know, all the money you have to put into that whole thing, you could just put it in the penthouse. Man, you could go leap the walls, you know. It's like, is that, yeah. So that's the idea, is that without that, it doesn't work. So in the Vedic, the foundation is up. It's Krishna. And then it descends down. So the whole point is they're talking about, we're going to do these activities that without that basis. So you can understand as they're looking at it that it's, you know, we're going up to the highest. But without those other elements, then they're not on the highest platform. They never will be. You know, they may have their moments, but then that's Nama Bas or Pratibhima, you know, like that. It's not of substance. So,
I would like to speak on the aspect of difference more than the oneness.
Difference than the?
Oneness.
Oneness, okay.
So the question is like, remembering Krishna in the material world, and material world is consisting of inferior matter as we're reading over here.
Right.
But in the spiritual world, we have the matter which is superior quality.
Right.
Therefore, is that because we have superior matter and inferior matter, therefore residents of the spiritual world find it more easy to remember Krishna, and here it is kind of a challenge.
So, because here you have inferior matter, the spiritual world you have, spiritual matter. So, does that make it easier for the residents of the spiritual world to remember Krishna because it's inferior matter and here it's more difficult? Right? Is that the question? So, but we were in the spiritual world and we weren't remembering Krishna, so that's why we're here. And people from there, they come here, they're always remembering Krishna, and then they inspire us and take us back there. So remembering Krishna doesn't have anything to do with the two places. Absorption in Krishna, that can be done anyway. There, because it's superior nature, the qualities of it and what it can do is much better. You know what I'm saying? So it's here. I'm sitting here, then, you know, over there there's a tree and there's some fruit on it. Okay? Now if I want that fruit, I have to go all the way over there, get a ladder, this or that, or climb the tree, or, you know, whatever. So many varieties of ways you can do that. Or I have to have Prapti City, and then I just make my arm real long and try to grab it, which is all right as long as, you know, a truck doesn't come by when I'm trying to grab it. Because my arm is that long. Right? Why? Because there's time and space. Spiritual world, there's no time and space. So that means I see the fruit there. I take my hand, and because I can see the fruit in my hand there, you know, by the because there's no space, I can take the fruit and I have it. No property city. No ladder. That's the meaning. It's easier. So why would that make us easier to remember Krishna? Because that's the exact reason why we didn't remember Krishna. We thought, wow, this is cool. You know, and then we get distracted by the secondary. So the point is here it's the place of people who are distracted by the secondary, but the secondary there is better. Just like, okay, Dvidvita Gorilla, he's moving around, right? Moving around in the world. And that. Or, no, say Shankachuda, right? And so you don't hear of him getting too involved with the ladies around here, right? Like that. But as soon as he sees, who is he with? Who is that? Balaram, no? Shankachuda, or that was Krishna? Both.
Huh?
And
Shankachuda was Krishna.
Shankachuda is Krishna. Okay. So then he immediately sees the gopis and he's thinking, wow, you know. You know, Ravana, he's got 10,000 wives. Right? Mandodara is main. And all that. But then when he sees Sita, it's like, hey. You know? And he first saw her when she was meditating. And so then he came over and then touched her, and she just burned herself, and she just burnt self immolated, just burned herself up into ashes. So he thought, not so quick, you know. He collected the ashes, put them into a, you know, a box, and then kept it at home. Right? You know, thinking, you know, he can do something with this. Right? Does that make sense? So the quality of things on that secondary platform is way greater than in the material world, but that's the whole point, is only those who are, only see things in relationship to the primary, they can be in that situation and maintain Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. So in other words, we're having trouble maintaining Krishna consciousness here, we'll have more trouble there. Because here, it's like, we're sitting here in a regular old place like that, and you know, life goes on, and like that, we might remember Krishna, might not. Now if I take you to, let's say, you know, visit the, what do you call it? I can't even remember the name of it. Yeah, can't remember. Is that, that, you know, so all that seven-star hotel in Dubai, what's it called? Something Al Arab?
Burj Al Arab.
Burj Al Arab, yeah. So, how do you know that? I'm just joking, because we say, how do I know? So, they actually gold leaf all the stuff.
So are we going to check it out?
Yeah, it's a part of the field trip. Right? You know, see how you feel out here, right? You know, out in the sand, not so good. In here, wow, yeah. So the whole idea is that you can get distracted by it. You know what I'm saying? You walk into a hotel. What's the first thing you have to do? Right? Go to the desk, right? Check in. There is no check in there. Yeah, you can't just walk in. So if they let you walk in, they know that you're okay. So if you drive up in your Bentley, then you get in. Then you just go in. Someone will greet you. You don't have to go over. Then they'll greet you. And then, you know, ask your name. You already have. They'll take you up to the floor. Like that, and on the floor, there'll be someone there who'll give you the key and all those things like that. You know, they'll take you, open the room and all that. So you don't have to do anything. And a regular room means it's two floors. Be like that, because one floor is the general, you know, meet people, business, things like that, family things, guests, and the second floor is then just private. It's just bedrooms and bathrooms and wardrobes and that for the family. And that way also then, you know, somebody can be doing business downstairs, the others can be enjoying upstairs, or, you understand? So, and when I mean gold leaf, I mean literally. There's like, I don't remember how many. It's a ridiculous amount of gold leaf. Right? Yeah. And so when we get into that kind of place, are we just going to be, yeah, you know, opulence, Krishna, like this? Or we're going to, wow, this is nice. Wow, check out this, you know. Yes, I mean, of course, that's the process we're talking about. We start with that, you know. So, you know, this flat screen television is very big, and Krishna is the biggest. So, therefore, remembering Mahavishnu. Yeah. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that just as in the heavenly planets, how well does Indra do remembering Krishna? Right? There are times he remembers very well, but then there's times that he really does not remember. So that's why the human life is considered the best, because it's a mix between nice and not nice. And so you're always reminded that it's not nice. Well, the demigods, they go to Nandankana, they kind of forget it's not nice. You know, when Bali Maharaj walks in with his armies, then they remember. But other than that, they really don't remember. So that's the material, then you take it even higher. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is that you have all these wonderful things, but if you can't remember Krishna with what you have, you won't remember if it's better. Right? The kid can't play violin. Now, if I give him a Stradivarius violin, now he'll be fabulous? Yeah, so that's the whole point. Is that okay?
It seems that we need to have some qualification to remember Krishna.
Yes, but that comes from having that faith in Guru, faith in the Shastras, faith in Krishna, that surrender. That's the qualification. Then all other secondary qualifications, they come by Krishna's grace. So in other words, the 26 qualities come because we have that faith and focus on Krishna. So that's why if they manifest or don't manifest, or you see them all the time or not, that's not the problem. Right? We think they should always be there. No, it's according to the situation, the pastime. But the core thing of always being absorbed in Krishna and never forgetting, that's always there. So that's what we're trying to get to. That's what we're trying to see. So here is by these various philosophies, by them not accepting this connection, they're missing out on one of the most major, you know, technical or mechanical aspects to remember Krishna. Mm-hmm. And it's not that, oh, this is a lower level. It's the level that Krishna and Uddhava are recommending to the gopis in their separation, because there is nothing else. As Krishna says, you know, that he cannot repay them. So the only thing that they can do is just remembering their relationship with Krishna. And how, and they can do that by being anywhere. So they're not just there in a trance and, you know, as avadhuts. They're doing their household duties, they're doing all these different things. So they can see all that in relation to Krishna. In fact, the first time they meet at the Maharas, they mention this point. So Krishna's bringing out that, like that, you're remembering all the time when there's that purvarag, that attraction, but there's not the opportunity. In the same way now, then he's not there, the same position is there. So that's the whole point, is that the same thing works on those in the beginning stage that it works on the most advanced, like chanting a holy name. The most unqualified can chant it, and the most qualified are always chanting it. But technical points in between, now that you need some qualification. You know, like you want to be a manager or a cook or a pujari, that takes some qualification. But to chant the holy name to remember Krishna, it just takes that surrender. So that's what we're trying to see here. So all these philosophies and all that, the problem with them and why we put that emphasis on trying to regulate or adjust their whole approach is because their philosophy gets in the way of devotional service. That's the problem. So those things that are supportive of devotional service, like we say, using the logical process in the proper way, is supportive of devotional service. Right? Because we'll use Anuman to try to find how Krishna connects in whatever we're doing. So it works. It's valuable. But the things where they're saying it's all these things aren't connected to Krishna, and so if it's not connected to Krishna, then what's the point? Because they're only trying to get to Brahman, the neutral. They're not trying to get to the personal interaction. So that means personal interaction there means you have to be able to function personally here. Right? So you see, is all these philosophies finesse that whole aspect of personal dealings. Right? Does that make sense? I mean, the Mimamsakas, then they will deal in the duties of it, but they're detached from it because they're attached to what they'll get from it. You know what I'm saying? They're here in life and, you know, working, getting a little bit of money and this and that. But then they'll go to the heavenly planets and they'll have so much facility and money. Is that something sense? So they can either only see the personal aspects for their own benefit, or they think by getting rid of those, then they'll get benefit. They don't see that they can deal with those, they'll get full benefit because it's for the benefit of Krishna. It's something very different. That's why it gets confusing, because it's two seemingly opposing elements that are functioning for devotional service. Right? So the Achintabheda Beta Tattva brings it out in its finest way. Does that make sense? So we're discussing Vedanta Sutra here, you know, and we're applying it into, you know, all the levels of devotional service from the beginning stage up to the most advanced. So that's the whole point. It's not just philosophy, something to argue, you have to defeat people, therefore that's why you have to know. It's so that you understand what is devotional service and how to apply it. And so this is being presented through an intellectual process, because there's intellectuals and they generally tend to have the most influence on people in general. So if they're dealing properly, that'll have the best influence for the people. But if they're doing improperly, they don't just affect themselves, they affect anybody who will listen to them. And nowadays with this, you know, all this media, then it's very easy. You know, thousands of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands will listen. When before, they wouldn't know that they even exist. You know what I'm saying? Like that.
In Bhagavad Gita, we see that there are, I think, the three shloki who are speaking about Vedanta Sutra.
Yes.
Chapter 15. So, why they are there?
Why means, yes. Because See, is the Vedanta is the philosophy. The Vedic philosophy is Vedanta. Mm-hmm. Right? Because it's the end of knowledge. It means understanding all the various branches of the knowledge. The end is in the, given in the Upanishads as the philosophy in that, and that's about devotional service. But, because the soul may not be inclined towards devotional service, then it's better they're following the Vedic version than not, if there's a sincerity to elevate themselves. If they're using it just as an excuse for sense gratification, then in one sense better they don't use it, because then they don't have authority. You know, like the modern man is, well, why are you so absorbed in sense gratification? There's no actual authority for that. They'll just say, well, you know, it's nice, everybody does it, that's what everybody wants, and you know, like that, but there's no authority. So therefore, when there's problem, then you can't, you don't have anything to fall back on. Well, if you're following the Veda and you're just using it for sense gratification, then you're having the authority that this is what I can do. That's why Buddha took them away from the Vedas. So it's those who are just so attached and so materialistic and so, and you know, the cheating propensity, the illusion is so great that they may not be following it. Right? But we see with Lord Chaitanya, now the most fallen can be given, because the holy name is the prominent thing. While when they, these others, these smartas approaching, it's not the chanting and all that is the prominent thing for them. So they're actually missing the whole point. They're so absorbed in the Vedic, they can't actually see the essence. Right? But now with it coming around, they, you know, becoming peaceful, this and that, then they're accepting the culture, then accepting the Vaishnava position. Then we can see is then Lord Chaitanya's direction with his instructions. Then that makes it accessible that anybody can move forward. So then the Vedic version, that's actually what it's about. It's just not caught. Otherwise, if it wasn't what it's about, why are the personified Vedas coming as one of the groups of gopis? Now, if anybody knows what the Veda is about, it's the personified Vedas. You know, I'm just saying, as far as, you know, mechanical knowledge goes and all this, you know, it means you are a personification of the Vedas. Either a specific Veda or just in general. But the point is you know, it's just... And so they've understood the conclusion is that surrender to Krishna and that pure, you know, love of Vrindavan. And so that's what they've done. Does that make sense? You know, and then the great sages at Dandakaranya, right? That their surrender to Lord Ramachandra. So like that, then they're understanding this. The demigods, they're up there, they're enjoying like anything. Right? And so now you have people that are in the mode of goodness. They follow the rules. They know the rules. Like that. They look fabulous. They you know, they look better than anybody that we know of. They have more money than anybody we know of. They always look youthful. Now, is that situation going to be good for women or not? You're not going to get better than that. So it's not going to get better than that. But these women from the heavenly planets, they're seeing it's better to be involved with Krishna in that pure love for Krishna. And so that's as good as it gets materially. It means no one's going to be getting more happiness than them. It means officially it's Indra. But in actuality, it's going to be the women that are there. Does that make sense? And they're coming. So that means what's on Brahmaloka, what's on there, what's here, whether they're involved in activities of karma or jnana, whatever the material position, it's not as great as that surrender to Krishna in Vraja Bhakti. So that conclusion, that understanding, then that's what's giving. So Vedanta Sutra doesn't in any way go against that. But all it is doing is focusing on the jnana aspects to make sure that the situation is favorable for devotional service. You know what I'm saying? But it's not that if the jnana is in position for Kriya and Krishna's pleasure, just because it doesn't emphasize that doesn't mean that that's not what it's doing. You know what I'm saying? The kitchen man is in there cleaning the kitchen, washing pots, cutting vegetables, you know, setting things up. Does that mean that, but there's no cooking going on, so then this is all useless? You know what I'm saying? No, it's useful because of its connection to Krishna. But if we don't connect it to Krishna, then that's mundane wrangling, and then, you know, it's a waste of time. Right? Maybe a pious waste of time, but a waste of time nonetheless.
Mentioned about surrender, and the basic definition of surrender that has been given by ISKCON is about, is that
ISKCON.
Yeah.
ISKCON's basic definition of surrender. Okay.
One takes initiation. Surrender because
that's surrender.
Authority, and then you surrender unto the guru, and that's how you.
What
know.
Happened about giving all their money and apartment and car to the temple? I think that's the first step in surrender. Puryascharya Vidhi. So you take initiation, okay?
Yeah.
And so?
And that's how surrender begins. But
that's how surrender begins.
Yeah.
Okay?
But then devotees find that life is pretty normal and good and cool, you know. So, you know, the
good
kind of surrender.
Cool.
Yeah, the surrender, the to intensity of... No. See, that's the surrender after initiation. Then life is pretty simple, easy and fine. You know, it's going great because you're...
After initiation.
After initiation. So then, how can one increase the intensity of surrender to Krishna?
By knowing the all nine levels of the process rather than anishta bhajana kriya.
He can get something.
Hmm? Yeah, he can go for second initiation. Yeah, then after second initiation, then he can go for some, you know, high-powered administrative position. Then after that, then they can go for, you know, sannyas, GBC, guru. Once they get to there, then...
Acharya.
Huh? Acharya. Yeah, I mean, that's been tried. It didn't work out. So yeah. Otherwise, then you kind of... I used to say, I think one of our... Those who tried for Acharya, he literally lost his head in the process. So. I think Ananta Vasudeva, he actually got poisoned. You know, so. Yeah, no, it's I wouldn't go for that one. It hasn't worked out so far. After that, then you can, yeah. Then I'm not sure.
Euro?
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I mean, for an alternative, you know, like that, then yeah, you could go for the bureau. Like that, because then they can fight with the GBC, and that gives a real taste and all that. Yeah, okay. But like that, you could try. But otherwise, just understand the process and that, yeah, anishta bhajana kriya is there, but what about nishta bhajana kriya? Then what about ruchi? What about asakti? These are the real tastes, you know? Not just, you know, life's going on like that. Does that make sense? You know, the cat's doing good, right? It's like he can sleep anywhere in the house like that, and at regulated times, and there's food there. How much he can eat?
Because usually after second initiation, one feels that one is a mukta jivatma.
One's a mukta jivatma because after second.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a good one. But okay, so they brought it down. We somehow know the thought just by following the process in 3 years would be a pure devotee. That seemed to be the general consensus at that time at many temples, so because I asked. So. But you just chant and all that in 3 years would be a pure devotee on the platform that Shastra's talking about. But that was through chanting and all that, not by second initiation. That just came along. You respected those who were on that platform. Yeah, so it's just a matter of, you understand the process, you understand how it works, then it keeps going. Because, okay, if you've got second initiation, okay, even we say, you've got second initiation and you're a mukta jiva, so that mukta jiva means you're liberated, right? So now, what is our view on liberation? Yeah, it's a waste of time, right? So even the Vaishnav liberations, we don't see very kindly. Why not? What's the weakness? If I say, okay, someone gets what is it? The one with the same form? Sarupya Mukti. Okay. They have Sarupya Mukti. What's the problem here? Is that a final goal?
No.
So what's the final goal?
Serving Krishna.
Serving Krishna. So with your sarup, you're going to be serving Krishna. You're on the same planet, you'll serve Krishna. You have the same opulence as you serve Krishna. You're an associate, you serve Krishna. So serving Krishna is the actual goal. So if they think that they've made it because now they're on a liberated platform, you know, we're not even discussing whether they are liberated or not, but just taking it that they feel that that's the position. But if you're not doing service, then what's the point? And if you're proud that I'm liberated and the others aren't, then how is pride favorable to devotional service? Since Lord Chaitanya says in the natural flow to be always chanting the holy name, then the first thing is humility. So in other words, our process has already explained how what's actually there. So it's just that the weaknesses that will be there in their own... what do you call it? Purva Samskar. Is that how it's said? Purva Samskar?
Yes, Purva Samskar.
So the Purva Samskar, the life before devotional service. Mm-hmm. You know, but the question is there life before devotional service? But whatever it is, whatever they considered, whatever the weaknesses are there, the desires, the drive, those will still have their flavor as they take up devotional service.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they should just see is that that they have those kind of mentalities, that's only because of their background.
Mm-hmm.
Because you take someone from somewhere else, they don't have that background. Like you go up north and you say, okay, it's all happening, it's cool, it's like this. But if you go farther up north, how do they view the world? You know, how things are unfolding, right? They don't say cool, they say cholega. You know, how's it going? Ah, cholega. Yeah, it's going on. Yeah. Right? So you remove, you know, most of the passion, just leave a good chunk of ignorance, and you have cholega. Right? You add in a little bit more passion, then you get, you know, hey, we're mukta jivas. You know? Why? Because it's prestigious. Because, you know, we're on top of the pile. Right? So you have all the people in the world, India is the best, and in India, then Bombay is the best, and in Bombay, then the corporate world is the best, and then, you know, but then we're devotees on top of that, and we're second initiated devotees. It doesn't get better than that, right? Does that make sense? You know, because that's where you want to stop, because if you go into the brahmacharis or the sannyasis, they don't get to eat kandhi every day for breakfast, you know. So, I mean, you know, how is that going to be an advantage? Right? Right? So like that, you explain it to them.
Explanation
should have probably been. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bring it down. Yeah, it was somewhere.
Oh, here he is. Yeah, there he is.
So, tomorrow.
Continuation of the question again.
Continuation of the question, okay.
When you perform services.
I mean, so then when they're a second initiated mentor, then now what's the position?
when we perform services, then many times it has been said by the seniors that
it's been said by the seniors
that there is, or even the equals many times, that there is no need, you know, to perform such a fiery devotional service.
Such a
fiery devotional service. Because it is not the requirement as of now. It was a requirement when Prabhupada was existing, and that was
when he was existing.
Yeah, then that time he. It was
they don't understand grammar. See, there's a position called continuous perfect.
Yes.
Was is past.
Pass.
It's one of those past participles. So they have to learn a little grammar. You know, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave you in a shloka to define that position.
Is existing. Yeah. So then, Prabhupada, like, it was like the entire movement, everybody was surrendered 100% and they did wonderful.
Yes, and so nowadays we'll be only partially surrendered and we'll only get a partial result.
Yeah, so the thing is that, is this understanding correct that, that kind of surrender that was required then is not required now?
Why? Means the point is surrender means relationship with Krishna and service to Krishna. Does that, is that bound by time and space?
It is not.
No. So therefore, why would there be any difference? Maharaj Kulashekar, you know, his surrender, or who is the Katvanga? Maharaj Katvanga. You know, that's, you're talking millions of years ago. So, is there any difference? Lord Chaitanya saying anything different? Is Krishna saying anything different than Gita? You know, his surrender to me. Give up all these varieties of religion, you know, like corporate, you know, and surrender to him. Does that make sense? And so then that's the whole point. Because you have all these things but not seen in relationship to him, what's the use? Now you see them connected to him, but it's more about the secondary, then it's purifying, but it won't give you pure devotional service. Just like Nama Bas will purify you and give you liberation, but it won't give you prema. Shuddhanam will give you prema. So therefore, never forget Krishna will bring you to the liberated platform. Always remember Krishna will bring you to the platform of prema. So that has to be understood. A surrender is surrender. If you want prema, you have to surrender. If you don't want prema, don't surrender. It's easy.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. You know what I'm saying? The element of how surrendered they were, that has to be there. Now the particular means how they were situated, like everybody's living in the temple and all that, like that, then maybe that doesn't have to be done.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is if you don't have that, would there be a yatra? If there was not a grihastha couple living in the temple that was fully surrendered, would there be a yatra for them to sit around and speculate like this?
Mm-hmm.
No. In other words, you had one brahmachari and one grihastha couple. And from that group, you got your whole zone.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if that surrender is not there, and so then the whole point is it's always there. The brahmacharis are not surrendered.
Yes.
The point is this community is there. Then if they surrender like that, then they'll move forward in devotional service like the Shastra recommends, like the examples we have. But at the same time, the community accommodates those who, you know, are simply weekend warriors or once a year a Janmashtami warriors or, you know, like that, you know. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of how much you want. You want to, it's just like, okay, you invest in the business and you put 100 rupees in an investment. And it's a good investment and it will increase, right? Okay, and after 10 years you might have, you know, 2,000 rupees. Right? Now what if you put a crore into that?
10 crores.
Yeah. So you understand? So it's just a matter of what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So they put in less surrender, you'll get back less. You'll move at the speed of your surrender. That's all. So that's all. It's just up to them. But the point is community means it accommodates those who aren't. Like before, everybody lived in the temple. Everyone was fully surrendered. But Prabhupada always talked about community. Means his plans for all these things, because that's what Namhata is. That's what Bhakti Vinod Thakur made. So Prabhupada's plans in the 50s, before he went to America, how the system would work, that he was trying to set up with the League of Devotees, that was already in place, because he knows everybody can't live in the temple. There's only a certain amount of space. Right? He's like in Chopati, you can get, I think, 110, 120 brahmachari. That's it. You can't get more in there, in the building. It says a limited size, so that means everybody else lives outside of that. But it doesn't mean that the quality of surrender can't be there. A grihastha community can have the same surrender, same Krishna consciousness. Gopis, are they not grihasthas?
Yes.
Right? How much time do they spend at the temple? Right? You know, not a whole lot. You know? Does that make sense? But they're full of, they're because they're absorbed, so it means it can be done. Down to the person who it's just nice. They came in contact, they find it inspiring. And, you know, now and again they put in some time, or they do a little reading, or, you know, maybe chant a little bit, or put on a tape and listen and sing along while, you know, they're doing whatever it is, their accounts or something, I don't know. You know, but they're just, they're there. So anything is good. So the idea of community is that it can get the wider range. It doesn't mean that you bring the top down to the bottom. The whole process is to bring the bottom up to the top. And so if we don't see that, then how successful are we? Then at the same time, we're talking about numbers. So we're talking about quantity, not quality. You know what I'm saying? And so then, do they is that reflected in their life? Are they buying the 100 rupee perfume for their wife? Or are they buying the 3,000 rupee perfume for their wife? So they're buying if they're buying the 100, I have nothing more to say. You know, especially if they have the money to buy the 3,000, but they say, no, the 100's good enough. You know, people know you put on perfume, you know. But, you know.
Air
fresh. Yeah, that would be even better, right? You know, it comes in a convenient can. The can looks nice and all that. Hard to put in your purse, though. Like that,
but. Put it at home.
Yeah, keep it at home. Yeah, you just put it on. You just spray it in your closet. Then you don't even have to wear it. Right? Yeah, so. But they're doing that. So they're going for high quality. What car do they drive? Right? Well, they are driving an Ambassador. Name me one devotee in your zone that they own an Ambassador as their car. Not one person, right? So why not? They're there. They work. It's a 1954 Austin. That's what it is. It's British. That's why it works this long. You imagine, you know, and those old lorries, the Tatas, those are Mercedes. Otherwise, why do they work? Right? If it was Indian, it wouldn't work. Because it's that, then despite Indians, it still works. So, what's the problem with it? You know, like that. They do sell Ambassadors in the West. Like that. And people buy them because it's like an old, antique car. Like that, you know.
Vintage.
Yeah, it's vintage. That's the term. There's a vintage car, and they think it's cool, like that. You know. So the whole point is why is it only in our philosophy we do that, but in practical application of our life, we're actually following more along what is said, but it's not being applied spiritually; it's being applied materially. So then, is that actually an improvement? Is that, oh, we don't have to be so fiery like that? And says, so then how did they have so many kids by being not fiery? You know, why do they have so much money? Why do they have the plans? Why do they all these things? Because of not being fiery? So now it's just a matter of, oh, you don't have to be fiery for Krishna, so all that fire I can use for myself.
Yeah.
You know, so like that. We'll stop here before it gets too
fiery.
Fiery, yes.
In short, they are fiery for the secondary, but not for the primary.
Yeah, you're fiery for the secondary. But the point is, you can be fiery for the secondary as long as that secondary is for Krishna. Because that's where we start. We only know how to be fiery about secondary, but now the secondary is for Krishna. So that's what was going on then. They may not have been so refined and all that. In general, there were individuals who were very refined. They were always refined. They always did things in a very, you know, proper way. like that. So those kind of things are there. But generally what people look at is the rough and ready and all this and that. But that's how everything started. You know what I'm saying? You know, the people down at the beach, you know, making salt with Mahatma Gandhi, were they all like refined? Mm-hmm. Like that. Some may have been, but some weren't. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, so that's the whole. Okay. Further, the Sutrakar explains that asat means unmanifest and sat means manifest, or alternatively as non-existence and existence, respectively. This alternative definition of sat asat was earlier provided by the Sutrakar in Vedanta Sutra 1415. Sama, karashat. It was explained therein that both sat and asat are attributes of the energy of the Supreme Lord. Right? It just means one means is the manifestation of it, one means it's not. Because that's the whole point, is that he being the Lord of all these, he being non-dual, at the same time he's the Lord of all contradictions. The point is you have what means he is what he is. And so therefore all this energy means that he has energies. Mm-hmm. Means what's the meaning of being the supreme if there's no energy? How do you understand his supreme position? Mm-hmm. By the energy. So that means already you're dealing with the first opposite there, energetic and energy. Mm-hmm. Right? And from there, everything's based on that principle. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? So the masculine and feminine principle means you're dealing with opposites. Mm-hmm. But the point is in connection to Krishna, all these opposites are connected together. They work perfectly together. Mm-hmm. So therefore, that there's manifest means there's unmanifest. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yes. Though the manifest is the important, the unmanifest is, means depends where you are. Here we'll talk the unmanifest is beyond, and here's the manifest. And in the spiritual world, you say that's the manifest, and this is the unmanifest. Mm-hmm. Because it's temporary. Because before the creation of the material world, the Supreme Brahman's names and forms had not existed in the material world. The Supreme Brahman is sometimes known as asat, non-existent, because it's beyond, means there's no material existence. Right? The current Adhikarana brings out a new angle to the term asat. Because he has no material qualities, the Supreme Lord may be called asat, nothing or void. So that's where they get their, that's where they'll try to connect their Buddhist philosophy, that nothingness too. Okay. Formerly in Vedanta Sutra 118, Hetavya Vachanachcha, it was demonstrated that the Lord does not have material qualities because statements to that effect would make the Lord an inferior object. So he doesn't have, he has superior qualities. So we're talking, if somebody has inferior or superior qualities, is how you define something being inferior or superior. So that means if he's the supreme, that means he must have the topmost qualities. Not that he's the supreme, he must have no qualities. Right? So therefore, if you have the topmost qualities, means you have no mundane qualities. So that's the asat. Right? It is important to note that sat and asat indicate whether a thing is perceptible or not, not whether it exists or not. That's the whole point. So they're taking it, asat means doesn't exist. But we're taking it, that the shastras mean you can't see it or not. Right? Because unless it's seen, how is it expressed? Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. You say, While we analyze multiple definitions of sat-asat explained by the shastras, it is essential to register that all are valid and are resolved by considering the context in discussion. Ultimately, all seeming contradictions are resolved in the Lord. Footnote 20. That's a big footnote. Yeah, so you won't get that. So we'll stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura.